This is Rat Pack Radio, the internet radio station that brings you everything from the top hits of music.
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
To Sports Talk Radio.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California.
We are here for you, WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack.
You're listening to WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack. You're listening to Rat Pack Sports Show on WRPR Rat Pack Radio.
Reputation to be the best at what he does.
You see, a man has to realize his limitations. You don't know me, and you don't know what I'm capable of.
That was a heck of an effort.
This house is a prison in the galaxy of this sucks.
Are you free enough?
This battle is over when I say it is over.
I will massacre you.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Are you not entertained?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
That's how I roll.
Offensive foul!
Hello? You play to win the game.
There's a drive!
This is my favorite part coming up right now. What you don't know, have it come from your head.
Save your life.
All right. Rat Pack Sports Show. We back in the building. Another week. Another Wednesday night. Rat Pack Radio WRPR. We are streaming live on the Rat Pack Radio WRPR app. We're also streaming on RatPackSports.com. We're on Twitter at Rat Pack Sports, Facebook Rat Pack Sports Show, and the Rat Pack Sports Show like page as well. You can also call in to the hotline, Rat Pack Sports Show, 727-565-1585. And you'll come right on the air, but you got to keep it clean or we're going to have to boot you. We haven't had to boot many people, but sometimes it happens, and it is what it is. So keep it clean, and we'll give you the time you need to make your point. But it is Wednesday night, and as always, this is the show where we get into many different topics, unlike Sundays where we just focus on football. We will talk NBA today. We will have Nicholas Lane, Rat Pack Sports Show NBA Insider, calling in. Boss Hog Sean Naylor will also be calling in for his weekly NFL segment. We'll get into some fantasy football talk. And also, week there is games, and we'll touch a little bit more on last week's games. We kind of used Sunday night to dig into the prior week game. So we'll get into some matchups for this week and answer any fantasy questions. We know Mr. William Graves, he's a fantasy guy, and he need all the help he can. My boy drafted about 20 receivers and was wondering why he wasn't winning any games. Bruh, you got a team full of wide receivers. But we kind of joked with him like, about that as well. I am also in a NBA fantasy football league on ESPN, and I'm also we'll get into my brackets. Well, not my brackets, but my NFL pigskin pick'em picks, which is fairly good. If I was a betting man and I had a 73% pick, as far as every week I hit on 70% of my picks, I'll be feeling pretty good. I'd be feeling pretty good. I don't know how much money I would have won up to this point, but I definitely would be doing all right. 73%. And it was like 2 weeks where I didn't even make any picks. So I don't know, when you don't make any picks, you don't get you don't get credit for them. So I have two entries going on. So one of my entries, I'm 101-57, and the other one, I'm 104-62. So I want to, out of, let me see here, four groups, and I don't know how many people in all these groups, but one, I'm in the ESPN Street Confidence, and I'm ranked 1,816th place, and that's probably out of about a few, I would say at least 50,000 people. So let's see here. And the leader in this group is 129-64 with 1,000 points. He hitting on 99%. Jeez. These are people that they degenerates. They do this stuff for real. These are the gamblers right here. I guarantee it. All these people are the gamblers. 99%. Well, that's not 99%. I mean, they're in the 99 percentile. I'm in the 66 percentile. Week 13, I had 62 points. These are the confidence picks where you make your picks and then you put confidence points next to it of how confident you are of that pick. So if you win it, you get those points. Week 12, I was 80 on the confidence level. Let me see where exactly that ranked. Week 12, 80. So it's only 6,500 people in this group. So out of those 6,500, I'm ranked 1,816. I'll take that. I'm in the first take group. There's 20,000 people in this group. And out of those 20,000, I'm ranked 73% I guess. So the 73% now. So that's good for 5,000. So I'm in the top. Basically, I'm in the top 27% of the group, which is not bad. I mean, that's pretty good. Last week, week 13, I had 110 possible points in my pick. So I must did pretty good in those picks. How many did I hit on? I missed the Cowboys pick because I didn't get my picks in before that. I would have took the Cowboys. I, you know, took the Bucks over the Falcons. I took Arizona over Chicago. Took the Chargers over the Bengals. I think a lot of people missed on the Vikings and the Lions because it was like only 77% of the people took Detroit. So 93% lost on that one. Took Miami over the Giants. I took the Eagles over the Jets. I took the Colts over the Texans, obviously. Missed on the Raiders. I took the Raiders over Washington, missed that one. Rams over Jaguars. I took the Steelers over the Ravens, which that was great. If I was a gambling man, 13% of everybody picked the Steelers. 87% picked Baltimore. So I just had a feeling Pittsburgh playing at home, that was, you know, that would be good enough for them with the home field advantage. So, and that's a rivalry, you know, a rivalry game. So you just can't never underestimate anybody in a rivalry game because the records don't matter. Throw them out the window. I took Seattle over San Fran. Kansas City over Denver, obviously. I took New England over Buffalo, which that was almost 50-50. 45% picked New England, 55% picked Buffalo. So I only missed three games that I actually picked from. Actually, two. I only missed on two games that I actually made my picks. Yeah, two games. And then, obviously, the Cowboys and Saints game, I didn't even get a chance to make those picks. So, man, I'm doing pretty good, though. I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty good at picking games. I'm pretty good at picking games. I'm not a gambling person, so, you know, that's kind of my deal. I don't like gambling. The most gambling I do on sports is DraftKings and FanDuel, and then you know fantasy football with friends. That's it. I don't go to Bravada and all of those stuff and bet online and all of that, or play pools and stuff. I should. I mean, I'm pretty good picking these games, man. Pretty good picking these games. I mean, I'll take 73%. I'll take a 73% hit rate on games. You know, the underdogs are the biggest thing, because it's easy to hit on the Tennessee Titans Jaguars. You know who gonna win that. You know, that's from a talent standpoint. Those games are not the ones that's hard to pick. You know, but games like this, Baltimore, Cleveland. That's a tough game, even though 72% of the people in this group is picking Baltimore. You know, Cleveland is one of them teams. They're Jekyll and Hyde. They got a ton of talent. Defensively, they stack, you know, up front. Offensively, they got some talent on offense. They can run the ball with the best of them in the league. And they got a good offensive line. That's a good team. So, Can Cleveland beat Baltimore? Definitely. I mean, Lamar Jackson is not, you know, tearing it up. You know, two people that since they've been in the league, they've been tearing it up, Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. You know, those dudes, they've been pretty good. You know, they've been pretty good, and it's been really tough. You know, beating them because, you know, the league, it takes a while for the leagues to figure out players. But eventually, this is the pros, man. This ain't Pop Warner. It's not middle school. It's not high school. It's not even college. So eventually, these professionals figure you out. Because if you're not Tom Brady or Peyton Manning and stuff like that, you got a weakness, especially throwing a ball. We know you can run, but it's easy to shutter in somebody that's mobile. You just got to have discipline from your defensive line and whoever you're going to have that's going to be your spy on the quarterback. So, but throwing the ball, you know, Phillip Rivers, Brady, you know, Breeze, those dudes, you know, Manning, you're not going to fool them. So, but Patrick Mahomes, I'm going to be real. He's a flash and dash type of quarterback. He's a good quarterback. I'm not saying he's bad, but the way he plays, how they get their big plays is something that could be stopped. You know, they have a ton of speed on the wideouts. And if you want to play man to man on them, you better have a front four that could get to the quarterback quick and keep him contained. That's how they got their big plays. Teams was playing man, they was getting caught in the blitz. Patrick Mahomes was scrambling out, and he was just throwing the ball as far as he could throw it. When he got in trouble, throw it up. Now, you know, teams are playing more zone, and they're forcing Patrick Mahomes to go through his progressions. They're being disciplined on the pass rush, so they're making it harder for him to have those passing lanes. And, you know, he's trying these same plays that he's been doing the last couple years that's been working, but they're not working this year because teams are playing discipline, you know, and they're not playing man. If you want to play man and man against Kansas City, go ahead. You know, that's gonna be a long game for you. It's gonna be a real long game. But at the end of the day, I'm gonna take Washington over Dallas. That's gonna be my upset pick. Take Carolina over Atlanta. I'm gonna take Seattle over Houston. I'm gonna take Denver at home over Detroit. Chargers over the Giants. San Francisco is playing hot. I'm taking them over Bengals. And I'm finna go against the grain here. I'm taking the Bills over the Bucks. I just don't like the Bucks defense right now. And Josh Allen and the Bills, they got the type of offense that'll give us problems. Now, we could go out there and win, but I'm gonna take that. Let's see. Green Bay over Chicago, Arizona over. I'm taking Arizona over the Rams again. So that's my picks. Can't pick them. Let me see. How did I do in 2020? I did a playoff pick in 2020. Missed it. Let's see. Let me get out of here, man. What in the world? Excuse me. Let's go ahead and playoff pick'em, pigskin pick'em. Let's go back. So now I make my entry on my on my confidence picks. So my confidence picks, you know, I do a little bit different. I start at the bottom, and I work my way back up. See, the Rams in Arizona, that's not a 14-point value for me. That's more like a 3-point value. So I got to find a team in the low numbers that I think is more of a guarantee and move it. Green Bay, Chicago, I'm gonna leave that where it's at. Bucks, I'm gonna move that. Let's see, Baltimore, Cleveland, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Dallas, Washington, Pittsburgh, Minnesota. 14 points? Nah, that's a tough game. I'm confident in the Arizona game. I like Arizona, so we're gonna leave that there. Chargers and Giants. I'm taking the Chargers. Taking the 49ers. That's Green Bay, Denver, Seattle over Houston. That's pretty easy for me. Just take Carolina over Atlanta for 9 points. I still like the Dallas, but I'm going to move that to 0.1 point because I could be wrong on that. I could be very wrong on that. Saints over the Jets. I'm going to take the Raiders over Kansas City. That's one of my upsets. Tennessee over Jacksonville. Arizona over the Rams. I just don't like this Bills matchup, man, with the Bucks. I haven't been too happy with the defense over the last few. So I'm just gonna leave it at that. But I'm not confident. I got some friends at work that's Bill fans, and I'm not confident. I've been telling them all week that I think this is a trap game for the Bucks, and I think they're going to lose this game. Bills are in playoff mode right now. They're 2 games behind New England, and they pretty much got to win every game to give themselves a chance just to make the wild card. So they're in desperation mode, you know. We're not in desperation mode. We're not in desperation mode, I don't think. Take Pittsburgh, go for Minnesota. Yeah, we're not in desperation mode. We're sitting at the top of the division pretty easy. I mean, if we win this game, we clinch. So that's just the way it is there for that. But that's where I'm going with that. And I'm not afraid to go against my team. I've never been that type of person. And a lot of people, you know, I'm a Bucs fan. I've been a Bucs fan all my life. It's been the only team I've been a fan of diehard-wise. I have other teams that I'm fans of, but I'm just fans of just because I respect the organizations. But my team is the Bucs. But I'm not afraid to speak out against my team because sometimes they suck. And right now, I think defensively, I think they're absolutely terrible right now. Absolutely terrible. That's just how I feel. So we'll get into that matchup with Boss Hog, Sean Naylor. Definitely, you know, get into that matchup because that's something that I know William is going to want to get into that matchup as well. So that's what we'll do. Trade rumors going on here. with Russell Wilson possibly, you know, waiving his no trade clause to be traded. And I think at this point, if I'm Seattle, I'm not trading him. I'm not trading him. But I guess, you know, he's putting it out there just in case Seattle is thinking, you know, it might be time for a rebuild. Maybe that's the case. But I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. But we'll see. I got a little message here. Let's see what's going on here.
Hey, dog. Big dog. I know you're watching the game. Should we score that Dunedin game right now?
All right, so it's one of my buddies. Yeah, so they just got to play better. They got to play better on the defensive end as far as the Bucs. And I think, you know, we're going to get challenged. Diggs is a legitimate number one receiver. Emmanuel Sanders has been a very productive receiver in this league. They got quite a few tight ends. You know, they're a strong team. So, we'll see, but we'll get into it, man. I don't want to get too deep into it right now until the boys get on, cause I want you guys to hear their opinion too. And like I said, we're gonna have Nicholas Lane. Hold on. So I'm sitting here, I'm watching a couple of high school basketball games. I got, you know, some players that I've been coaching, you know, scattered all across the county. So I can't be at every game, but they got a good little streaming network that they really took off during the pandemic. And I'm glad that a lot of the schools continued on and just kept it going, because it allows me to be able to watch a lot of games instead of having to trying to get to every game. But I'm watching this game here, and I was straight up, you know, you're up, what's the score, 30? Is that, yeah. You're up 30 points, right? And the game over, you got the ball. It's like, you know, 5 seconds on the clock, and your your best player has the ball in their hand. Normally, you just hold the ball, you know, you run the clock out. That's sportsmanship, right? Well, the player shot the ball. And she, you know, she made the shot. So, game is over. My initial thought, you know, I just want to look at the reaction of the coaches because, you know, that's not something you teach. You know, you wanna teach sportsmanship. Now, I've watched this young lady play basketball a couple of times, so she's one of those, you know, she has a little bit of swagger, but kind of like a cockiness to it. So I know, you know, for them, if you're not real stern and disciplined as coaches, man, you can, you know, those type of players can get away from you fairly quick. But for me, not my team. Any team that I coach, we play basketball, win or lose, the right way. Especially when it comes down to sportsmanship, just, you know, respect for the game. You shouldn't be shooting the ball at all when the clock is just running around. That's, you know, you get what's coming to you. It will come back. The basketball gods always show their face at the most craziest time. So, you know, I just saw that. So I just figured out, you know, explain that, you know, to you guys, because as you know, I do coach girls basketball. And, you know, that's something I take fairly serious, sportsmanship, and just respect for the game and the other team. You know, too many coaches these days think it's a good look when you got, you know, such a good team. You know, they take pride in scoring as many points as possible. And not calling the dogs off and just continue press the, you know, whole game and trying to get that 100. Everybody wants to score, you know, if you can't score 100. And it's like, whether you score 100, 75, 50, 60, a win is a win, right? And as a coach to another coach, there's a respect factor and there's a mutual respect that you have. Just, it's an unwritten rule in the game, in sports, not just basketball in particular, but in sports. You never want to show up the opposing coaches. You know, I figure that's a tactic of, you know, showing up the coaches when they get to a certain point. Now, if your team not good, that's one thing. But when you know the team not good, you got the game in hand, you know they struggling, you know, you still playing basketball, but there's no need to press full court the whole game. And, you know, some of these scores, you know, it's just crazy. I, you know, put some of it on the coach of the other team. You got to coach them up a little bit better and stuff. But, you know, the way I see it, some of these scores are just purposeful. You know, you trying to embarrass these schools. And as a coach, you know, especially in the girls' basketball world, it's already tough to get, you know, a lot of these girls out and even play basketball. And if they do want to play, you know, stuff like that hinder the development process to where they don't want to play because you know it's just the way it is. It's not like coaching boys; they don't care. You know, they get blowed out by 50. They know they got a game in 2 days or the next night. They just, you know, ward off the back and go, let's go and play. But, you know, girls a little bit different. So, but it don't, it's you know, I heard somebody make a comment just recently because it was, and it's a team that's, they stacked, got a lot of talent, and they beat a team pretty bad, really bad. And somebody came in and said, you know, there's nothing to brag about. You know, when you know you got a stacked team, you're supposed to beat these lesser teams like that. There's nothing to brag about. And, she was like basically, you know, saying that's the way it's supposed to be when you got that kind of talent. And I was like, you know, she make a point, and then one person was like, you know, these girls work hard, you know, and this is just a stepping stone of the work they put in, and you know, them trying to get back to offs and stuff. Type of games don't help the team out anything. They don't games. They don't do. Let's be those type of games ain't gonna happen ever. That's number one. Number two. They're going to be deep. They're going to have a deep bench. They're going to have everything. That just so you going out there beating these lesser teams the way you is just it is what it is. You just a better team, and you blowing them out. But they don't prepare you for nothing. They don't prepare you for the playoffs. They don't prepare you for going up against a better team than you. It gives you a false sense of, you think you better than you actually are, and then when you go play those better teams, you get blown out because number one, a lot of these coaches got players just sitting on the bench and they don't play them, and then when you in games like that, that's the perfect time to get those players in the game so they can get some game experience. And they can build a little bit of confidence, and they can, you know, get better. So as those players on the bench improve, your overall team is improving because your bench is improving. They're getting those valuable, you know, game minutes. But, you know, let's run it up. I can say what I say because I sit there, I go to a lot of these games, I sit there and watch it. So it is what it is. I'm just speaking from experience, what my eyes see. So if anybody get a little salty, hey, I don't care. I mean, you see the game the same way I see it, hopefully. But yeah, so I kind of agree with the person, you know, these games don't help. It is what it is. Yeah, so, but that's my whole thing about, you know, sportsmanship. You know, you can preach it. You can preach it, and a lot of these coaches, they preach sportsmanship to their players, but, you know, that's sportsmanship for the coaches as well. And I've seen quite a bit of coaches that's got, you know, really good teams. When they up in these type of games, they sit their starters down, they put their bench in, they let them run the rest of the game. And then, they, you know, they'll trickle the starters back in here and there, give them some minutes or whatnot, you know, but they won't lead them in the whole game just to run the score up. You know, they'll take them out, put the bench in, let them play, and, you know, dial it back. They, you know, they'll just play a half-court defense instead of, you know, pressing full court. But a lot of some of them, I'm not gonna call nobody out by name, but you know, it's the same thing every year, and it's the same thing every year. When they get into the districts and they get into the regionals where they have to go outside the area and play teams, they don't win. So if you want to be good, you got to beat teams outside the area. Other than that, you know, you take care of business in the area, but to me, that's a sign of somebody that can't coach. You got talent, but when it's time to coach that talent, you don't win the games, you lose them. But that's my little rant there. Nicholas Lane will be calling in here in about 5 or 10 minutes. I just got the okay from him that he will be calling in. And so we'll hear from him. He's got, you know, a lot of NBA that he's going to talk about, and it's a lot happening right now around the league. the Lakers, man, I'm going to ask him again, get his opinion. What's up with the Lakers? Because the Lakers suck. They suck. And now this ain't just, you know, me saying it. You know, there's a lot of people now saying it. They look terrible. You know, you got Barkley. You know, Barkley and Shaq and Kenny Smith on Inside the NBA last night. They was talking about the Lakers. It's just a bad mix. It's a bad combination of players. It's an old team. And they're just not good. They're just not good. And this is with LeBron in the lineup. This is with LeBron in the lineup. So, oh, that's pretty cool. Tiger Woods to play in PNC tournament next week with his 12-year-old son. His son probably going to be nice. He can't help but be good. I mean, his dad, Tiger Woods. But, I mean, Michael Jordan's sons weren't that great. They played college. They didn't make it to the pros. But, you know, golf a different sport. Let's see. I'm gonna watch this. Well, I'm not going to watch. I can't sit and watch a whole 4 days of golf, but I'll tune in from time to time and keep track of the scores. But that's pretty cool that he's going to be on the golf course. I guess it start Thursday. No, December 18th. That's a couple weeks away. Next Friday. So, or Saturday. Next Saturday. Because it's only a 2-day event. Well, that's going to be pretty cool. I watched, you know, Tiger Woods before he got hurt. I watched him and his son play golf and, you know, them standing next to each other swinging the golf clubs. And they look like identical twins with the golf swing and everything. I mean, the follow through, everything. It's pretty funny to watch. But that's going to be pretty cool. His son is going to be pretty good in golf. I mean, you got, you know, obviously one of the best. Other than Jack Nicklaus, you know, Tiger's probably going to go down as best golfer that we've ever seen. You know, he don't have the majors, but as far as, like, wins and his dominance on the tour and just how he pretty much changed the game of golf. I mean, from a overall, you know, standpoint of you know, health, you know, because back in the days, you know, these golfers weren't lifting weights and they weren't working out the way Tiger Woods was. And then Tiger came and, you know, hitting the weights and the physique and the dominance on the course. You know, from a money standpoint, change the game. I mean, ratings, you know, when Tiger is on the golf course, the ratings are a different animal. I mean, people still watch, even though he's not, you know, on the course, but when he's on the course, people watch, and, you know, he changed the game of golf. You know, he changed the game of golf. So, he may never catch the Jack Nicklaus majors record, but from all the pundits, the people that know more about golf than I do, Tiger Woods probably the best, you know, golfer we've ever seen. You know, it could be debatable if you want to, you know, if you want to count down the majors and stuff like that. You know, obviously Jack Nicklaus has 18. I mean, Tiger's still young. He's not gonna play as much as he did because of the leg. No telling, you know, what shape that's gonna be in when it's time for him to play. So, but he's still young. Could he get hot 1 year, you know, or a couple years and win a major here, win a major there, win a major there? Yeah, he could. I mean, you know, who was it? Davis Love, you know, won a major. No, not Davis Love. Who's the? He just recently retired. It was Davis Love. It was. I can't remember the guy name. I forget who it is. This could kill me because I know it's right on the tip of my tongue. But you know, golfers in their 60s and 70s. I mean, you know, still playing competitive golf, so it's not out of the question. But obviously, he won't be like, you know, the same golfer that he was. But with not playing as much and getting a lot of rest in between, you know, he could possibly be productive in the events that he do play in. And he's probably going to be real selective about the courses he play on as far as, you know, familiarity with the courses. You know, walking-wise, you know, if you playing in the mountains, it's a little bit more taxing on your legs, you know, walking up and down hills and all of that stuff if you're up in the mountains and the hills playing, opposed to if you playing in a golf course that's more flat. So, We'll see. But I'll be, you know, paying attention. Obviously, I'm a Tiger Woods fan. I'll sit down and watch around the golf when he's golfing. I used to like I can't remember the golfers now. They did the little skits, the video skits. Golf Boys. I can't remember the name. I can't remember those golfers. But let me. We got Google. Golf Boys. Let's see. Here we go. Who is it? Bubba Watson. Yeah. Ricky Fowler, Bubba Watson, Ben Crane, and Hunter Mahan. I don't know how many of y'all ever watched this, but I'm going to play a little bit real quick. This is pretty funny. I enjoy it. Let's see if I can unmute this thing real quick. Funny, so I'm gonna post a link to it in the Rat Pack Sports Show Facebook group. So if you guys want to, y'all can head over there and check it out. It's just comedy, you know. This ain't no real. You know, real track. I mean, it is, you know, you could buy it. There's, and they did another one too. Let me see if I can find the other one. Let's see if I can find it. Golf Boys 2.0. Yeah, because they did the first one, and then they did a Golf Boys 2.0. So this is the Golf Boys 2.0 right here. This one here was pretty good. I
Golf
like
Boys main 2000 Trizatine. Ben Crane. We running this short game. Hit him in the net. Come on. 25 inches on my golf cart rims.
Going bubble long, better watch out, kids. Getting so hard, coming out my shoes. Ain't afraid to cry. Oh, how the birdies love me, love me, love me.
Almonds in my bag, cause they yummy to my tummy. Pictures in my backswing, baby, that ain't funny. Got my SPF on, cause the sun is sunny, sunny.
We're going flat bills, we're going flat bills. Ricky Fowler to Fowler to Fowler flat bills. We're going button up, we're going button up.
We going mayhem, we going mayhem.
Chris Lee
bending like a mountain man.
We going insane, we going Ben Crane.
Ka-ka, ka-ka.
Golf Boys main.
Ka-ka, ka-ka.
Golf Boys main.
That's pretty funny there. You know, I don't know. Back in the day, they had this this movie with was it Sean William Scott? I think it was Evolution. I don't know if how many I've ever seen that movie with Sean William Scott, Orlando Jones. But it's called Evolution. Well, he did that caw, 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 caw. But Ben Crane, obviously it's the perfect name because Crane, Bird, and he's sitting in this video and he has this bird mask and these bird wings on his arms, and while he's doing the caw, 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 he's waving his arms like he's flying like a bird. It's pretty funny, man. So when y'all, you know, go check that out, I'm gonna post both of these links in the Rat Pack Sports Show Facebook group so y'all can check it out. But these are old videos, man. They was done in like 2012 and 2013. But they went viral. I mean, this video here's got 5 million views, and I'm sure the other one got just as many views on it. But it's a cool little track. It's a cool little track. So I'm putting these links right now in the Rat Pack Sports Show group. So I got one. I'm gonna put the other one in there so y'all can check it out. This is on the Rat Pack Sports Show group and like page. So you just head on over there and check it out. So I gotta copy and paste the other one. Yep. So, all right. So, here we go. So, I post both of them in there. You can head over to Rat Pack Sports Show Facebook page and check it out. What is going on? No. All right, so they're both in there. Cowboys. Oh shoot, I posted two of the same. Hold on, let me see which one is this. That's that one. And then what? Hold on, man, I ain't asked for this. Okay, that's the first one. Here it is. All right, so I gotta go back and change something. Hold on, man. All right. So we got both of them on there. We're going to have Nicholas Lane here calling in soon, so. All right, so that's what we're going to do here. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we'll have Nicholas Lane on to talk a little bit of NBA. So let's take a quick break and come back on the other side. This is Rat Pat Sports Show. We'll be back.